In today's news headlines, the trial of Donald Trump's former campaign chair Paul Manafort begins, a big test for the investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller. The trial will not focus on the Trump campaign's collusion with Russia. Rather, it will involve Manafort's financial dealings as he's being charged with 18 counts of tax and banking violations. Still, that did not stop the president from tweeting in the early hours of the morning, "Collusion is not a crime, but that doesn't matter because there was no collusion, except by crooked Hillary and the Democrats." The tweet is significant in that the president went from claiming no collusion to collusion is not a crime. Meanwhile, Mr. Manafort on Monday dropped his appeal in a case he had brought challenging Mueller's authority. On Wednesday, Mr. Trump held a joint press conference with Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte, who was visiting the White House. Mr. Conte announced he would organize a conference focused on stabilizing Libya, the departure point for refugees heading to Europe. Trump surprised reporters by saying he would meet with Iranian leader Hassan Rouhani.
So I believe in meeting. I would certainly meet with Iran if they wanted to meet. I don't know that they're ready yet. They're having a hard time right now. And I'm ready to meet anytime they want to. And I don't do that from strength or from weakness. I think it's an appropriate thing to do.
Do you have preconditions for that meeting?
No preconditions. No. If they want to meet, I'll meet.
That was President Trump on Monday explaining that he would meet with Iran's Hassan Rouhani without preconditions. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo followed that up on Tuesday morning with a series of preconditions for any meeting between Trump and Rouhani. The New York Times reports that Trump is considering a unilateral tax cut for wealthy Americans. According to the Times, Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, said in an interview on the sidelines of the Group of 20 summit meeting in Argentina this month that his department was studying whether it could use its regulatory powers to allow Americans to account for inflation in determining capital gains tax liabilities. Mnuchin reportedly added, "If it can't get done through a legislation process, we will look at what tools at Treasury we have to do it on our own and we'll consider that." Already, American billionaires are sitting on mountains of extra money thanks to the Republican tax reform law that passed last year. Later on our show today, Chuck Collins of the Institute for Policy Studies will explain what wealthy elites are doing with all their extra cash and will debunk Trump's wild claims of a historic economic rebound. Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Monday held a religious liberty summit where he announced the creation of a religious liberty task force. The announcement was the result of an executive order that Trump had signed in May. Here is Mr. Sessions.
"We've gotten to the point where courts have held that morality cannot be a basis for law, where ministers are fearful to affirm, as they understand it, holy writ from the pulpit, and where one group can actively target religious groups by labeling them hate groups. There can be no doubt that we are stronger as a nation because of the contribution of religious people."
That's Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Monday announcing the creation of a religious liberty task force. The Daily Beast published an opinion piece accusing Sessions of declaring a holy war on LGBTQ people. On tomorrow's show, we'll be joined by a guest from Americans United for Separation of Church and State to discuss Sessions' task force. As of Tuesday morning, the Carr Fire continues to burn in Northern California. Although it is now 23% contained, it has been declared the seventh most destructive fire in the state's history. An area of more than 100,000 acres has burned, and the flames are so intense that witnesses and firefighters are reporting the fire is creating its own weather patterns. The Ferguson Fire also continues burning near Yosemite Park. Both major fires are visible in satellite photos of California. A warming planet has created more fire-friendly conditions. Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday gave the green light to a major lawsuit being brought by young Americans against the government over inaction on climate change. The Trump administration sought to dismiss the case, but the Supreme Court has allowed it to proceed. The suit is being brought by nearly two dozen people aged 11 through 22 and was first launched against the Obama administration 3 years ago. It has slowly wound its way through the legal system, even as the impacts of human-created climate change are all around us. In immigration news, the Senate Judiciary Committee has asked federal investigators to examine accusations of mistreatment in U.S. detention centers. Since 2014, there have been numerous allegations of sexual and physical violence against undocumented immigrants being held in U.S. custody. Senators Chuck Grassley and Dianne Feinstein wrote, "These allegations of abuse are extremely disturbing and must be addressed. This is not a partisan issue, as reporting suggests many have been occurring for years. In June, Associated Press reported that, quote, children held at an immigrant detention facility in Virginia said they were beaten while handcuffed, locked in solitary confinement, and left nude and cold in concrete cells. Meanwhile, on Monday, a federal judge ruled that the government cannot administer psychotropic drugs to immigrant children without the permission of their parents or guardians. Judge Dolly G. ruled in a case that raised the issue of children being held at the Shiloh Treatment Center in Texas who were forced to take psychotropic medication. In Minnesota, prosecutors have announced they will not charge two police officers in the fatal Minneapolis shooting of a black man named Thurman Blevins. Two officers had been chasing Blevins and now claim that he turned around and fired at them with a loaded gun when they fatally shot him. Members of the Blevins family have joined protesters who are demanding that officers Justin Schmidt and Ryan Kelly be charged. According to Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman, for our evaluation, the mere fact that he pointed a loaded handgun that he had fired earlier in the day gives officers justification to fire his weapon. Anecdotal evidence suggests that armed black Americans are rarely, if ever, given the benefit of the doubt by police compared to armed white Americans. There will be a protest against the county attorney's decision to not prosecute the officers on Tuesday in front of the Hennepin County Government Office. Meanwhile, a number of states are suing the federal government over its decision to allow a Texas company to sell blueprints for untraceable 3D printed guns. The blueprints were set to go on sale on Wednesday, but the company had begun selling them earlier, and already 1,000 people have downloaded the instructions. On Tuesday morning, President Trump inexplicably tweeted, "I am looking into 3D plastic guns being sold to the public. Already spoke to NRA. Doesn't seem to make much sense." In Chicago, Illinois, an anti-violence march for this Thursday, organized by the city's black leadership, is aimed at Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Activists will be marching under the banner of Resign Rahm. Among the protest leaders' demands are, quote, justice for police murders, economic investment on the South and West Sides, resources for black-led anti-violence initiatives, and the reopening and repurposing of all of the record 50 Chicago public schools closed by Emanuel. Later this week, we'll speak with Reverend Gregory C. Livingston, one of the march's organizers. Former Oakland Mayor Ron Dellums has died. Mr. Dellums was battling cancer and passed away on Monday in Washington. He was 82 years old. Dellums had started his political career when he won a seat in Congress as an anti-Vietnam War candidate. He led the battle to sanction the apartheid regime in South Africa and helped to found the Congressional Black Caucus. U.S. Vice President Spiro Agnew had labeled Dellums an out-and-out radical, an epithet that he wore as a badge of honor. Dellums told reporters, "If it's radical to oppose the insanity and cruelty of the Vietnam War, if it's radical to oppose racism and sexism and all other forms of oppression, if it's radical to want to alleviate poverty, hunger, disease, homelessness, and other forms of human misery, then I'm proud to be called a radical." 10 years after he retired from Congress, Ron Dellums served as Oakland's mayor in California. And that does it for our headlines today.